Well, that game certainly made the turkey taste better for Patriots fans.
And probably gave Rex a little indigestion. If you saw those faces he was making on the sideline, he wanted to, like Fireman Ed, he wanted to be anywhere else but MetLife Stadium.
Absolutely. I'm surprised he didn't quit after that game.
It's not in him. He's not a quitter.
Oh, yeah.
But if any game wanted to make you quit, that would have been the game.
Although,
and I actually felt bad. I know you don't because you're Fred Kirsch
and
you're
Mr.
Patriot.
I don't feel bad.
I felt those Jets fans, it's a holiday, Thanksgiving night. You're all, you know, jacked up rivalry and... That is what you got for your $200 ticket or PSA. I mean, that was embarrassing.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. But on the Patriots side, it actually, you know, it was great. You solidified the AFC East. You know, now you've got one game to win it. You swept the Jets, which was important. You always want to sweep those divisional foes. So it was a huge game for the Patriots. Plus the way they played. It's just now they're starting to peak. Just at the right time.
Yeah, and now that's two teams in the AFC East that you swept. Now you move on to the Dolphins. You're absolutely right. You're totally in control. I mean, they were in control beforehand, but to win like that, 49-19, causing all those problems defensively, taking advantage of them offensively, right now this team is very, very dangerous, playing very well.
And just some of the numbers are ridiculous. You have five returns in 2 weeks when you're talking about special teams and defensive returns. You know, the three touchdowns in 52 seconds. Just the sort of the ridiculousness of how easy it's coming in stretches for this team over the last couple of weeks.
And it must be so discouraging for other fans when they look at the Patriots and Gronk is out. And they're thinking, oh, well, Gronkowski's out now. And yet they still put up 49. Now I know a lot of those were special teams, but that gets
to Andy's point. Yeah. Like, Gronkowski's out, so what do they do for the second game in a row? They get returns on special teams and returns on defense for touchdowns. It's just silly how well this team is playing the last two games. And I know that, you know, it wasn't that long ago we were talking about, geez, are we ever going to put together 60 minutes? And now all of a sudden, is any team ever going to hold us under 50 points?
Right.
It's amazing, the transformation in just 2 weeks.
And silly is a good word, because if you look at it, like, everybody's starting to notice, like, nationally, here come the Patriots. Are they the best team? And if you're a fan of another team, it's not just that you're blowing people out. Okay, Tom Brady's great. So if you throw a few bombs, but now you're getting these scoop and score plays where the quarterback bounces off his guard's butt, or, you know, that kick return where literally the ball could not have been more perfectly placed for Julian Edelman to catch it in stride and go into the end zone. It's got to be frustrating if you're watching this as a fan of another team, not even the Jets. I'm saying, you know, you're putting on your highlights and you're saying, oh, damn Patriots, they're doing it again. It's November and they're doing what they do.
You know, when it comes to the defense specifically, Chung came back, sort of maybe a tune-up game for him, but we did see McCourty stay at safety with Gregory, Dennard, and Aqib Talib at the corners. Do you think, you know, looking at continuity, they'll want to stay that way, or will Chung eventually go back into a safety role?
I think this is what you could see. And, I mean, it's hard to take Gregory out of the lineup right now. He's starting to play better. Once he got healthy, now he's starting to get some games under his belt. And every week it looks like he plays a little better. You know, I'm not saying every week he's going to have all those turnovers and big plays. But, you know, that interception was a great play. That was a great read. There was no luck involved with that. That was a great play. So I think it's hard to take him out of the lineup right now. I think Chung has to earn his reps, you know, whether it's in sub packages making some plays, maybe that earns you some more reps. But Bill has said he wants continuity. And I thought the way the secondary started to play, that includes Gregory McCourty to me at safety against, you know, pass heavy league. And you got Dennard and you got Talib starting to settle in at corner.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the health problems in different spots. Well, suddenly the health in the secondary is a strength because the guys are all coming back.
Some quality depth.
You know, unfortunately, it comes, you lose somewhere else because now you have to deal with the situation with Jermaine Cunningham.
Right.
And how that's going to affect things up front, how that affects Chandler Jones. If Chandler Jones is ready to come back, he missed that Jets game. So there's a possibility that your depth in the defensive line, defensive end specifically, could be tested here. But the secondary is, I think, probably as positive a sign as we've had in quite some time.
Brady,
ho hum, 14 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Unbelievable.
Who doesn't do that?
And you know, he's putting himself right in the thick of the MVP race yet again. And he's right. We barely talk about him. And I know that part of that is we take it for granted because we're so used to him playing great. But, how many of these stretches has he had where 4, 5, 6, 7 games, he just doesn't turn the ball over at all. And I don't think you look around the league and see that. You know, even the great ones, you know, might have the 14, 15 touchdowns that Brady has and 1 or 2 picks. He has none.
Right.
It's really a testament to just how consistent he is. And right now he's doing without Gronkowski. Welker is certainly less than 100%.
Hernandez is just coming back.
He's not himself yet. I didn't think that he was anywhere near 100% on Thursday night. So it just shows you just how good this guy is and how lucky we, you know, he's been around and doing it at
MVP.
Such a high level. I think right
now.
We're
taking him for granted.
Him and Peyton, you know.
What did Peyton do? He took a playoff team and they're still a playoff team.
Same old. Well, this guy's taking a Super Bowl team and they're still.
But you know
what?
He hasn't had a defense for 2 years.
You know. But the same old, same old. It's like it's never changed. You know, you took 1 year off and it's right back to Brady and Manning. The Patriots defense is going to face some interesting challenges without Jermaine Cunningham in the lineup for at least the next 4 weeks. I think there's a number of different ways you can go depending on Chandler Jones' situation and his ankle. If he's out there, that's no problem. He and Ninkovich have been the defensive ends all year. I think you go with the status quo. But if not, I think Bill Belichick can go in a couple of different ways. He can use Justin Francis on the inside. This is a rookie that I think has really come on a little bit with some of his reps that he's gotten. I think he can replace Cunningham and give you some of that pass rush that maybe Cunningham was giving you earlier. If not, I think Dante Hightower is a guy that can be used in a couple of different ways. So you can go with some three-man fronts. You can stick with the four-man fronts. I think it opens up some possibilities. But either way, without Cunningham, someone's going to have to step up. Injuries are also becoming a factor on offense, and specifically at wide receiver. You have Wes Welker dealing with some things, and he's been able to play through them with his ankle problems, his foot problems, and he's been solid. Julian Edelman left the game against the Jets with a head injury. His status is uncertain. It's leaving some holes here. You've already let Deion Branch go. If he comes back, if he's part of the equation, we'll have to wait and find out. But it's going to be interesting to see how they get by with this. Fortunately, even though Rob Gronkowski's out, you got Aaron Hernandez back. So that's like another wide receiver. But Tom Brady's going to have some different options to throw to, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Patriots offense overcomes these losses. One area that's getting healthy right now is the Patriots secondary. It's the first time in a long time that really all of these guys have been active and able to play. You had Patrick Chung with Steve Gregory and Devin McCourty at safety. First time those three have been together at that position. And now you have Aqib Talib out there with Alphonso Dennard. Kyle Arrington, I think, came off a very strong game against the Jets last Thursday night. This is an opportunity for the Patriots to do some different things, and we saw some of those against the Jets. You saw some big nickel with three safeties, with Chung part of that, guarding Dustin Keller. You also saw some nickel and dime stuff with extra cornerbacks out there. Marquise Cole is a guy who could factor into that, although he didn't against the Jets. Situation in the secondary might not be as bleak as it was earlier in the season.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
I know Coach Belichick likes to call these games hat and t-shirt games. How much motivation is that? How exciting is that?
New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
Images of the Week, the Big Apple Circus was in town, and this picture proves it. Forget about helmet-to-helmet hits. The league has to do something about just keeping the helmets on. And finally, to the victor go the spoils.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments.
Joining us now in the Patriots locker room, tight end Aaron Hernandez. And first and foremost, this time of year, I want to congratulate you. I know it's a little belated, but you had your first child, just celebrated your first holiday with Thanksgiving. What's it like being a dad these days?
It's great. It gives you something to look forward to. It's going to make you happy as soon as you see the little girl. And I'm just excited for a new adventure in life.
In terms of football, you got back on the field on Thanksgiving night. How did you feel when you got back about out there?
Well, it felt pretty good. Still got a lot of improvement to do, but it was a start, and I got to keep moving forward.
You've had a couple different stretches where you missed games this year. Are you one of those guys that it eats at you? Does it kill you to not be out there on Sundays?
Yeah, because this is what I dreamed of doing my whole life. So you want to be out there. You want to help the team. When you see your team winning, you want to help, and I'm just glad to be back.
In terms of team performance, the other night there was a stretch there where the offense was on the sideline, but the scoreboard kept clicking up and up. What's that like for you guys to be over there and just watching these big plays on special teams and defense?
Yeah, obviously, you get happy because you want to blow teams out and you want to get that lead, especially against a rivalry like the Jets. So it was just a great feeling, and I'm glad to be back out there being a part of it.
I know Coach Belichick likes to call these games hat and t-shirt games, and Teddy Bruschi used to be big on him. You can accomplish one of your goals this weekend, and that's win the division if you beat the Dolphins. How much motivation is that? How exciting is that?
It's exciting, but you can't get too excited because there's still a lot of more games to play, and you want to get to the end of the season where we were last year, and it's going to take a lot more. We got to stick together, keep improving, and I'm sure we'll have our chance.
Coach Belichick always talks about Thanksgiving. You know, that's when the season really starts, after Thanksgiving. Yeah. We're at that point. How much room for growth do you think there is with this offense and with this team?
There's always room for improvement. And we got some guys banged up, but we just got to keep making plays, keep coming together as a unit, offensive and defensively, and get Rob back and then get rolling.
As is the case so often with the Patriots, it starts with pass protection this week in Miami. Cameron Wake has become one of the best pass rushers in the game since joining the Dolphins from the CFL. Fifth in the NFL with 9.5 sacks this year against a Patriots offensive line that has been great against the pass rush in recent weeks. Only one sack in the last four games, zero in the last two. Marcus Cannon stepped up last week. Sebastian Vollmer may be back. Nate Solder has to deal with Wake. Starts up front for the success on offense. Lost in the Patriots' blowouts over the last couple weeks is the run defense. It has struggled a little bit, not quite as stout as it was earlier in the year. Have allowed 4 yards a carry or more from the opponent each of the last 4 weeks. Only did that once in the first 7 weeks. This week, they get Reggie Bush, Dolphins' athletic running back. A little bit like C.J. Spiller. Doesn't have the 7 yard per carry average like Spiller does, but he's at 4.5 a carry. He can make people miss. He can get to the outside. The run defense, that's Brandon Spikes, that's Gerard Mayo, and that's Vince Wilfork, need to tighten things up front. And if the offensive line wakes up and takes care of Cameron Wake, then it's up to Brady to go after a bad Dolphins secondary, specifically Nolan Carroll. Filled in for the injured Richard Marshall, and he's a big part of the reason that the Dolphins are at the bottom of the league or near the bottom of the league in pass defense. I know the Patriots are banged up on offense, but this is still a pass-first offense. Get Brady going early through the air and avoid one of those classic down games for Brady that come every once in a while in Miami. Good news is, no Jason Taylor to deal with.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
The Joe McKnight throw to Julian Edelman, are those all not gifts?
When can you stop?
Are those gifts? I just asked.
When can you stop?
Gifts.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Around the NFL.
Well, in the wake of the Patriots' Thanksgiving beatdown of the New York Jets, Fireman Ed has called it a day. You know the guy I'm talking about. He had the fireman hat and he leads the JETS chant during the game. Well, he's quit. He says, you know, too many people make fun of him because he wears a Mark Sanchez jersey and he didn't want to do anything that would embarrass the kids. So he's decided that's it. Well, you know what? BS. Put on a different jersey. Wear Bart Scott. Wear Darrell Revis. He's not playing. You can't blame him. You won't get made fun of him if you wear his shirt. The real reason is he's just plain embarrassed, as he should be. But I'll make a prediction. At the slightest sign of hope, a new GM, a new coach, a new quarterback, he'll be back. He can't live without it.
The Patriots are very much in the running for the bye, and I'm going to tell you why I think there's a much better chance that they're going to get it than a lot of people think. Right now, everybody is fixated on Baltimore and the fact that the Ravens beat the Patriots way back when, and they have the tiebreaker. I'm going to tell you, it's not that important. Here's why. Denver plays Baltimore later in the season. Denver beats Baltimore, and everybody else wins out. Those three teams finish with three losses. That tiebreaker goes out the window. Denver would have beaten Baltimore. Baltimore beats the Patriots. The Patriots beat Denver. Head-to-head doesn't matter. It would come down to common opponents. There's still a ton of football left to be played. The Patriots have a lot of opportunities to win games and find that bye all by themselves.
It's after Thanksgiving, so the playoff push is on in New England. But elsewhere, maybe up to 10 or 12 teams in the league, the push is on to get ready for the draft, Get ready to fire your coach. Get ready to find a new coach. It's a late-season rite of passage in a lot of other NFL cities. Fans in New England, don't worry. You haven't had to deal with it in a long time, but it should make for an interesting offseason. A lot of college coaches could be in the mix. Brian Kelly, Chip Kelly, and New England's former offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien, after doing a great job in 1 year at Penn State, already getting some NFL attention. Should be an interesting offseason everywhere, except maybe New England.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
The Patriots are leading the league at plus 24 in turnover margin. Can they keep up that pace throughout the postseason?
You said, can this continue? Of course it can. Anything is possible. But will
it? Thank you. I win.
Will it? Probably not. And that's the real question. We need to know, will it continue? You don't get to play Andrew Luck every week in the postseason. You don't get to play, certainly, Mark Sanchez every week in the postseason and the Jets. The Patriots are taking advantage of some subpar play on the other side of the field, certainly at quarterback right now. That won't continue. You get into the postseason, you're going to see Schaub. You're going to see Manning. You're going to see guys that are elite quarterbacks that take care of the football, just like your elite quarterback does. Everything tightens up in the postseason. Don't count on these big play turnovers.
But here's the thing. When they played Denver, who's one of those elite teams in the AFC along with you, you forced three turnovers that day, too. One of them was from Manning, a fumble from Willis McGahee, a fumble from Demaryius Thomas. So I do think the playmakers are in place here on the Patriots' defense. I don't think it's a great defense by any stretch, but I do think they're great at forcing turnovers, and I don't see any reason why that can't continue. It won't be as easy, because I got to give you a point. Mark Sanchez, Sanchez certainly helped on Thanksgiving night.
And you won't have Brandon Moore's butt helping you out either.
So you won't have those gimme turnovers, but I do think with Brandon Spikes, Dante Hightower, Gerard Mayo, the way they've been active in the linebackers, I think that the secondary has been opportunistic. They've gotten picked on, but they've been opportunistic.
Which means they catch the ball when it's thrown to them.
But I think
aside
the fumbles,
from Gregory's play this week, that was legit.
I think you're overlooking the fumbles. I think that some of the strip sacks, Rob Ninkovich, Chandler Jones, they've been up there among the league leaders in those in that department. I think those are key plays. Those are key turnovers. That's how you get around having to get, you know, a whole game's worth of great defense. If you can make a play or two here or there, then suddenly you create that turnover. I think that can continue.
It can. It won't. And it usually doesn't. And, you know, you look, it was remarkable that the Saints were able to do it a few years ago. They're a team that rode that success, continued it sort of right on through the end with Tracy Porter's interception that kind of shut the door on the Super Bowl. It was remarkable because it doesn't happen that often. And we saw it firsthand. A couple years ago, these very Patriots, I think they were plus 28 or something up in that range, had led the NFL in turnovers. Brady had a similar year. I think he had four interceptions, never turned it over. And then they played the Jets. And what happened? They didn't force a single turnover, and they lost the game. They only had one turnover on their own, but because they couldn't force those plays, they couldn't end the drives that they needed to end. The Jets scored more points. The Jets had a very clean day. They ran the ball well, didn't fumble it. Mark Sanchez had a very clean day, three touchdowns, no turnovers, and you were upset at home. I fear that's what's on the horizon with this defense if they don't stouten up.
Stouten up.
I think that's
a
word.
That. Let's throw that in there. Stouten up. Listen, is it the ideal way to go about playing defense? No, it's not, because I think at any given time when you have a game like that, you don't have anything to fall back on. However, I think that you're just sort of dismissing these as kind of being luck, and I think that
I think they've had a lot of lucky turnovers.
They've had some lucky turnovers.
Two weeks ago.
But they forced a lot of turnovers,
Alfonso Dennard
two
weeks ago. Mark Sanchez is this week.
And I think the difference between...
The Joe McKnight throw to Julian Edelman. Are those all not gifts?
When can you stop?
Are those gifts? I'm just asking.
When can you
gifts?
Stop?
Gifts?
Okay, was the
gifts.
Steve Gregory interception earlier in the Thanksgiving game? Was that a gift?
That was one play.
Was any of Brandon Spike's knockout blows this year where he caused a fumble, was that a gift too?
Not questionable.
Not a lot of them.
He rides the line on those. Some of those could get called back because of unnecessary roughness penalties and things of that nature.
Yeah, well, that's part. Listen, take that up with the NFL because they've decided that a ball carrier is not a defenseless player.
Ninkovich is your guy.
You can hit those guys any way you want. So
if Rob Ninkovich
Spikes is going to keep
continue
doing
with the forced fumbles, if Chandler Jones can get back to the forced fumbles earlier in the year. But you know what else happens with great quarterbacks? They get rid of the football. They don't hold on to it as long. They don't allow you to strip sack them. Peyton Manning gets rid of it. Schaub gets rid of it.
This offense, by the way, pretty potent. They're going to keep scoring. All it might take is one or two turnovers.
And this defense is pretty impotent.
You don't have to have five.
They continue to give up 3, 4, and 500 yards to teams.
And they can continue
without the turnovers, you're in trouble.
As long as you force a turnover or two, you can continue to do that.
What if you don't?
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night.
Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama.
Okay, time for your questions, the ones you sent to AskPFW at Patriots.com. But first, the Wilson Hart Power Index, Andy.
And we have some consistency, finally. Not only in the top two spots where the Texans stay at number one, San Francisco stays at number two, but even beyond that, you're starting to see the same team sort of three through seven. But the interesting part is, and the Patriots are seventh, moved up a spot, it's really tight. It's really bunched up in there, three through seven. Only 0.7 of a point separating all those teams in there. And I know people don't know exactly what that means, but, you know, there's a much larger separation from two to three, for example. And the bottom of the list, as always, Kansas City Chiefs. You're eliminated from the postseason, and you have taken up permanent residency in the basement of the Wilson Hart Power.
All right. You can get that every week on Patriots.com.
You might need to pause. I think Paul had a shot to take. Did you have something you wanted to get in, Paul?
No, I'm good.
Not this week. We'll hold it off. All right, let's get to the questions. The first one comes from James from Ireland. And first he says he thanks the show for keeping all the European fans up to speed. And he says, my question is, with Brian Hoyer going to the Steelers, do you think this could give them some advantages if a potential playoff meeting occurred between them and the Patriots?
Yeah, I know that's always a popular line of thought. You know, anytime a guy for the Patriots goes elsewhere, or if we pick up a player from another team, I think that stuff can tend to be a little bit overrated. Brian Hoyer hasn't been with the Patriots this year, really at all, since training camp. So I think some of the things Josh McDaniels is doing on a game plan basis, and we always know the Patriots week to week change it up. They do a lot of different things. I'm not sure Brian Hoyer can give Pittsburgh a lot of insight. And by the way, we've played Pittsburgh so often over the years, I think they have a good idea of how we're going to attack them as well. I'm not sure Hoyer really makes much of a difference there.
Jason Chung writes in. He says, I'm watching the Falcons and Bucks game, and I'm seeing Taquan Underwood being impact player. And then Greg Salas got picked up by the Eagles. On the other hand, Taylor Price never panned out for the Patriots. Why is it that young receivers struggle to break into the Patriots roster?
Well, I think it's an interesting question. I'm not sure Underwood is the best case study. He was kind of a journeyman guy when he came here. He'd already bounced around a little bit. He was a seventh-round pick. And I thought, personally, when he was here in training camp in the preseason, he made some plays, but he dropped a lot of balls. So there wasn't even, like you said, that guy could be a player. And then the second aspect of it is I do wonder why they haven't developed young receivers in general, dating all the way back to Deion Branch, David Gibbons. Those are the last examples. And I think there's a variety of factors. I think there's misreads. You know, they misread Chad Jackson and Bethel Johnson, clearly. You know, maybe with Price, they didn't, you know, account for how hard it was going to be to come from a low-level college offense to this offense in the NFL.
All right, good questions this week. And send them every week to AskPFW at Patriots.com.